word, 1 Corinthians chapter number 11, verse 23. This would be the portion of scripture we would normally read before we were to partake of the Lord's Supper or our communion service here. I'm going to read just part of what we would normally read, verse 23, verse 24, and verse 25, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood, this do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I hope that, Lord, I can do this subject justice. Lord, I already ask that your Holy Spirit would make up, Lord, for my shortcomings and frailties, that you'd communicate clearly the truths, Lord, to the hearts of those here that you know needs to be delivered and ought to be delivered on this Memorial Day weekend. And Lord, I ask, God, that you would please speak to maybe that heart that would be here today and they've never been saved. Lord, maybe as they look back on the timeline of their life, there's never been that place, that time where they came under conviction of sin, understood the gospel of Jesus Christ, had you draw them and deal with them in a powerful way and had them surrender, Lord, and believe in their heart and call out to you and ask you to save them. Lord, if there's anyone here, Lord, that's never had that time, that moment of being born again, I pray that today, Lord, they'd be saved. And we ask, Lord, that you'd help us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. We are not going to preach the message this morning concerning the remembrance of our war dead or our war fallen. We're not going to preach on that. I'm going to take the remembrance theme, though, and use it in this morning's message. Let me just say this, and I want to share this with you as an encouragement to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, that we continue in these things. I believe that we do have in this community a very good reputation for being a church that honors our veterans meaningfully, regularly, and we're known for that. Eldon Tipton, our former senator of Indiana, wrote a kind note to me after one of our patriotic programs that he attended, and he said in that, I don't know of a church in the area that does more to honor veterans than Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have an entire ministry that we dedicate for one reason. We call it Operation Thank a Vet, and that's to personally go to veterans for two reasons. Number one, to stand, to shake their hand, look them in the eye, and thank them for serving our country. Number two, to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to them in a way that they'll accept it, a way that they'll take it and read it, hopefully, and to be saved. I appreciate Brother Hal Hall and his work in that. We try to be thankful, and I mean that. This isn't some gimmick. This isn't some PR campaign with us. We try to be thankful for those that are serving and have served in protection of our country. Mrs. Fulkerson handed me this, and maybe this will help your hearts prepare for tomorrow. But a poem that normally I would have asked her to read, but she wanted me to read it in her place today. I watched the flag pass by one day. It fluttered in the breeze. A young Marine saluted it, and then he stood at ease. I looked at him in uniform, so young, so tall, so proud, with hair cut square and eyes alert. He'd stand out in a crowd. I thought, how many men like him had fallen through the years? How many died on foreign soil? How many mothers' tears? How many pilots' planes shot down? How many died at sea? How many foxholes were soldiers' graves? No freedom isn't free. I heard the sound of taps one night when everything was still. I listened to the bugler play and felt a sudden chill. I wondered just how many times that taps had meant amen when a flag had draped a coffin of a brother or a friend. I thought of all the children, of mothers and the wives, of fathers, sons and husbands with interrupted lives. I thought about a graveyard at the bottom of the sea of unmarked graves in Arlington. No, freedom isn't free. Amen. And so we do our best here to bring remembrance, the spotlight of remembrance on this weekend. Now, Jesus, let me say this, also wanted to be remembered. And by the way, he paid the ultimate price. Crossed, if I remember right, I haven't been in your seat for some time now, but across the front of our communion table are the words, "This do in remembrance of me." I want to preach on that subject. I'm going to simply call the message, "This do." This do. I want you to look for a second, if you can see it, on that word, or in your Bibles, if you have them open and can't see the table, the word D-O. "This do in remembrance of me." Now listen, because I think this is interesting. When Jesus wanted to be remembered, and I think that that's a very, very much a part of God, and we being created in the image of God, it's a part of us. I think when people get to the end of their lives, one of their greatest fears is not death if they're saved or what awaits. One of their biggest fears is that they might not be remembered. Jesus wanted to be remembered, and of course there's a very important reason why we remember his death. But when Jesus wanted to be remembered, what he did was he set up something that would cause us to do something in the process of remembering him. "This do in remembrance of me." So what he did was he gathered the disciples together, and he took some unleavened bread and he broke it up and he said, "Now listen, from time to time I want the church to gather together and I want them to do this. And while you're doing this, remember me." And so we take unleavened bread, we pass it around the congregation, we take a few minutes and we look at the unleavened bread and we partake of it. But while we're doing that, we are remembering the broken body of Jesus Christ. Then in a few minutes after that, Jesus passed around some grape juice, some unfermented, just like the bread would be unleavened, the grape juice would be unfermented because it represented the purity of Jesus Christ. And so he passed that around the table and they partook of that. And he said at the end of doing that, he said, "In the process of doing that, remember me. This do in remembrance." Or as you're doing, use that as a stimulus to remember. See, I believe that most of the areas of our life where we fall short in remembering, and especially in the areas we fall short in remembering Christ as we ought, it's because remembering usually occurs during the doing. Remembering usually occurs during the doing of something that Christ asked us to do. True remembrance, listen to this, true remembrance is displayed not in the words we say, but in the way we live. True remembrance is displayed not in the words we say, but in the way we live. Now, the Lord should be remembered at all times and remembered in our lives in all ways. I want to talk to you a little bit about remembering Christ. I know this is Memorial Day weekend, and tomorrow I would exhort you to spend some time doing what we did this morning already and remembering those fallen heroes. Spend some time. Matter of fact, our president has asked that at 3 o'clock on Memorial Day, all Americans would stop what we're doing and just stop for just a moment and spend some time remembering those that paid the price for us. I would encourage the congregation of Blessed Hope Baptist Church to participate in that. I would. But you know what? This isn't Monday Memorial Day. This is Sunday, the Lord's Day. And could I present to you this argument? We do not spend enough time remembering the Lord. We don't spend enough time remembering the Lord. I will tell you this, and this is what I believe. The more people that spend time doing for the Lord are the people that probably spend the most time remembering the Lord. Now, I'm not so silly as to think that people can't do something for God with their hands and not have him in their heart. But I will say this. I would put my money, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, let me just clarify that. But if I was a betting man, I'd put my money on the man who did for Christ as being the one who remembered Christ the most. And someone who may say, well, you can do and not remember, well, that's probably true, but I guarantee if you're not doing, you're probably not remembering at all. And so it's interesting that Jesus said, listen, the way to remember me and the way I want you to remember me is in the process of doing something. So number one, we're using this as our text, and we shouldn't jump across this because it's very important. Number one, we should remember the crucifixion of our Lord by participating in communion. We should remember the crucifixion of our Lord by participating in communion. Now, young people, listen to me. We've got our Sunday morning crowd here. I want you to listen to me a minute. There's a reason from time to time that we have the communion service here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. This isn't, I mean this, I'm not trying to be funny, but this isn't a snack time. This isn't a refreshment time. You may be new to the church, you may be new in salvation, and you maybe don't understand what's going on, but it's a very solemn, it's a very important time when we stop and we pass around the unleavened bread and we pass around the little small glasses of juice. And by the way, that ought to be a serious time, a time of serious contemplation. And remember, it's not goof around time. It's not whisper time. It's not laugh and giggle time. You know what it is? It's time where we stop at the commandment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We stop what we're doing. And you know, in this busy life, it's hard, isn't it? To get everything clear out of your mind, to push every worry and anxiety away from you, and just for even that short amount of time, focus 100% on Jesus Christ. But boy, when a church does that, I can't help but think that God in heaven doesn't look down and say, look at that congregation, that group of united believers. Every heart is focused on the broken body. Now look at that. Every heart is focused on the shed blood. Listen, I believe that pleases the Father when we remember the crucifixion. I believe it pleases Christ when we remember the price that he paid, the ultimate price that he paid for our sins, for our eternity, not just for our earthly freedom, but for our spiritual freedom, for an eternity of salvation and security in heaven. So young people, when we get to the communion service, take it seriously. You should participate in it only according to the scriptures if you're truly saved. But if you are saved, you've been scripturally baptized, and there's nothing between you and the Lord, you ought to obey the Lord in participating in the communion service. In the doing of the communion, in the doing or participation of the communion, you are heightening your ability, you're heightening your tendency to remember the crucifixion of our Lord. Now, let's not just do that once a month. You know, one of the great things that helps us is our song service. Let me just give a plug for the crucifixion here and our need to remember it. I'm glad that we sing still cross songs here. I'm glad that we sing about the cross a lot. We sang one this morning. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross. If you're like me, during that song, my heart's going back to Calvary. My heart's reviewing the scriptures I know that described how Jesus died on the cross. I'm picturing, I'm thinking about that cross. Folks, listen to me. Every Christian is better for remembering the crucifixion. I've said this often. If you run into a dry spot in your Christian life, if you feel yourself going a little weak or a little cold, maybe you're cooling down in your fervor, your zeal for Jesus Christ, you ought to go somewhere by yourself. You ought to start in Matthew and then Mark, then Luke, then John, and just read the accounts of the crucifixion. And I promise you, if you take your time and you read and you say, Holy Spirit of God, set my soul afire here. I need a touch from heaven. I need to get back to Calvary and have something stirred up again. And you will read those crucifixion stories. You will not be the same as you were before you read about the crucifixion. So number one, I believe it's important that we remember the crucifixion of our Lord, and we do that by participating in communion, by participating in a song service where we're singing about, by participating in the reading of the crucifixion stories. Number two, let me have you go to Acts chapter number 20. I want to spend a little time stirring your heart to remember the Savior. What I'm been sent here, I believe, by God to do this morning is just say, hey, you know what? The newspaper's had enough of your time this week. Why don't you stop and remember Jesus? The radio's had enough of your concentration this week. Let's shut everything down for a few minutes. Let's focus on Christ this morning. Let's remember his crucifixion, and let's remember it by doing something. And the more active you are in your Christian life, the more I believe Christ is in the forefront of your thinking, the forefront of your heart. Now, number one, remember the crucifixion of our Lord by participating in communion. Number two, Acts chapter 20, verse number 35, very interesting portion of Scripture. Let me call this the creed of our Lord. Number one, remember the crucifixion of our Lord by participating in communion. Number two, remember the creed of our Lord by participating in giving. Acts chapter 20 and verse 35. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak. And notice this, here's the word. You see the word remember? And to remember the words of our Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And there's one thing that we learn in studying the life of Jesus Christ, that he lived by a creed. And this was the creed that he lived by. It is more blessed to give than to receive. I want to show you, and I want to challenge you to try to find this if I'm overlooking it. But I want to challenge you to read the Gospels and read them often. I would love for you to show me one accounting of Jesus Christ having a selfish day. I want you to show me one story where the entire lesson of that story in the life of Christ is, hey, be sure and take care of old number one. You will not find that in the life of Jesus Christ. Now, am I against you every once in a while having a you day or a down day or a day where you spend some time relaxing? I don't think the Lord's upset with that either. But I do think he's very upset with people who live a life that away. A lifetime of that. And here is the creed that is given by our Lord. And notice this, it is stated in the Scripture that it is the will of God, is the want of God for us to remember these words, the creed of Jesus Christ. It is more blessed to give than to receive. And I'm not talking about just what you put in the plate when it comes by on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night. I'm talking about a life spent investing in other people, a life spent giving yourself, giving your life. Listen, the most precious gift you have to give to the Lord is not monetary anyway. The most valuable thing you have is your life. When a person gives time, he gives life. You realize that? When somebody gives an hour of their time to help you, what they've done is given an hour of their life to help you. And they'll never get that back. And they could have done other things with it. But when we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to give my life. I want to spend my life being a giver. A giver. Man, I want to ride this for a minute this morning. I won't stay long on this, but I'm going to move on. But folks, the welfare mentality of the last several generations is not only killing our country, it's killing our churches. There's too many people walk in with the mentality of what can this place give me? What can this place do for me? Let me just share the creed of Jesus Christ. It's more blessed to give than to receive. We've got to start having children in the family that instead of looking at mom and dad and saying, what can I get from them? Say, what can I give for them? We need to have mamas that look at a family and say, instead of saying, what can I get from them? Say, what can I give for them? We need fathers that treat their family in such a way, not what can I get from them? What can I get from my wife? What can I give to my wife? Listen, that's the more blessed life. It's the most blessed life. I've said this, and I guess I ride this thing, and I'm going to keep riding it because it is one of the greatest secrets that you'll ever learn in life. But selfish people are miserable people. Yes, sir. Right. Selfish people, self-centered people are miserable people. If you're always not happy because someone's not doing for you or giving for you or getting for you or whatever or complimenting you or patting you on the head or, listen, you're a miserable. No matter how much people do that, you're still going to be miserable. You know why? Because happiness is never found in this me, me, me mentality. It's just not. That's why the Bible says, die to self. Die to self and live to Jesus Christ. The happiest people, you go ahead and say what you want about them. You go ahead and talk about the crazy people at Blessed Hope, man alive, they spend almost every day, seems like doing something for somebody else or investing in this ministry and doing this. I'll tell you what, they're silly. They're, no, they're not silly. And by the way, they're happy. They're happy. You show me a young person. I mean this. I'm tired of sourpuss teenagers. Some young people decided that when you turn 13, from 13 to 18, you have a right to walk around with a scowl on your face and you're on a perpetual pity party all during your teenage years. Let me tell you why you're like that. You're selfish. You're like that because you think the whole world's supposed to revolve around you. It's not. It's supposed to revolve around Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's not about you. It's all about others. Jesus and others and you. What a wonderful way to spell joy. If you want the joy of the Lord, then you know what? Just remember the creed of our Lord. And the creed is this. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now let me have you go to Acts chapter 1. We're not too far from that. Acts chapter 1. People that do communion, that actually participate in the song service, that participate in the reading of the scriptures, they tend to remember the crucifixion. People that are giving people, you know what? It's not in the act of giving. There's a stirring up, a remembrance of our Lord. We're doing, therefore we're remembering. Acts chapter number 1. I love these verses, verse 8 and 9. Number one, we remember the crucifixion of our Lord by participating in communion. Number two, we remember the creed of our Lord by participating in giving. Number three, folks, remember the commission of our Lord by participating in evangelism. Remember the commission of our Lord by participating in evangelism. Acts chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Now notice that, there's a period right after that. The next words say this, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. That's very important. He left, he was taken out of their sight. You know what? He's gone. You know what? Until they die and go to heaven, they're never going to lay their eyes again on the face of Jesus. And all of a sudden, they're standing there thinking, wait a minute, out of sight, out of mind, how am I going to remember the Savior? He told you how to remember him. He told you. The last thing he said before he left, he told you how to remember him. You know how you remember? Oh, by getting in a dark room, turn off the lights and meditating. No. You know how you're remembering? You go out soul winning. You know how you're remembering? You get on a bus route. You know how you're remembering? You pass out tracts. You know how you're remembering? You carry it. Listen, get in that closet or that drawer in the back of the drawer. Remember that Souls Winners New Testament you actually used to use? Get out there, find it, dust it off, put it in your pocket, go out and start soul winning. Start soul winning. Remember the commission of our Lord by participating in evangelism. Now, you talk to any soul winner. You talk to anybody. Listen, the people that have the Lord constantly on their mind, that have the best remembrance of the Lord during the day, are the ones that are looking for opportunities to tell somebody about him. If you don't have that in the equation, you're not thinking much about him. And so let me encourage you to carry those gospel tracts. We spend money, we'll continue to do it, on the way out the door. Now, young people, I don't want you to grab handfuls of them, take them and stick them in a drawer, leave them on a dresser, or throw them in the trash down the road. They cost too much. But I believe every Christian ought to be a tract passing out Christian. I think that's a good way to do it. Brother Dave Liffick sitting right here and was saved partly as a result of reading a gospel tract. There's other people that have been saved through reading gospel tracts. Listen to me, folks. Pass them out. Pass them out. Pass them out. Pass them out. You know what? When you do that, don't tell me you can pass out a gospel tract and not have one thought of Christ. When you do it, you're going to think of Jesus. When you witness, it's hard to go through the Romans Road and never think of Christ. I mean, almost impossible to tell somebody about Jesus without thinking about Jesus. You know, why do we go visiting? Listen, the ladies that gather here on Tuesday morning and go out and spread across the community and go door to door, let me tell you something. They may talk about other things. I'm sure they do. But the Lord's primarily on their mind. Our teenagers go out on Wednesday afternoon. Let me tell you, when they hit the streets of our populated areas and they start knocking. And by the way, I'm going to tell you something. I mean this from the depth of my heart. I'm so proud of our young people. I'm so proud of their track record in participating in evangelism here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. I'm glad they knock on doors. I'm glad they're not afraid to give their testimony. I'm glad that we're training them to do those things. Listen to me. Why is it important? Well, Brother Jerry, it's important because it's a command. It's also important because in the doing of that, it heightens their remembrance of the one who it's all about. Jesus Christ, folks, wants to be remembered. So he says, listen, the best way to remember me is in doing something. Let me give you the last one. Go to Jude, the little book of Jude, tucked in the very back of our Bibles, the very back of the New Testament, Jude. And we're going to read verses 5, starting verse number 5. Now, what I believe God wanted me to do and what we're hoping to accomplish this morning is, listen, if you'll energize activity as a Christian, if you'll obey the things God and commanded you to do in this matter of participating in the communion, in the singing, in the giving, in living for others, in soul winning, in track passing. Listen, if you'll get busy doing these things, Christ will be on your mind. He'll be well remembered. He'll be a part of your thought process every single day of your life. Now, I'm going to end on this thought, and I want to take a couple minutes. Listen to me. Jude chapter number 5. Now, we can remember Christ's crucifixion, his creed, and his commission. But I think one of the things that we ought to do, and we fail, I think, in this generation, maybe more than these other areas, is this. We ought to stop and remember the character of our Lord. How do you remember that, Brother Jerry? By participating in holiness. I think the Lord stirred me, Brother Derek, to spend more time preaching on holiness. We've just dropped everything. We just keep backing up and making excuses and pointing at this. There's nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with this, nothing wrong with this. Listen, that's why I'm teaching what I did in Sunday school. You're not going to spend time in the presence of God. You'll never find anybody that sought the face of the Lord, and after that encounter, the first statement out of their mouth is, oh, and by the way, there's nothing wrong with this, 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 and that. You know what they said? They said, woe is me, for I am undone. They said, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man. The honest truth is, folks, we cannot fail to remember the character of our Lord. Now, what do you mean by his character? Christ's character is wrapped up, for the most part, in one word, and that is holiness. 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 Jude verse number 5. I will therefore put you in remembrance. Notice that. I will therefore put you in what? Remembrance. Though ye once knew this. And I'm afraid that's the testimony of a lot of Christians. They used to know this, but they've forgotten it. They forgot to consider the character of God. What about his character should we remember, Brother Jerry? How that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not? Well, that's not very pleasant. That's not going to cut it in our contemporary services. These aren't the portions. Brother Jerry, remember, we're supposed to be motivational speakers now, not Bible preachers. We're supposed to paint this glorious picture of a big, soft, marshmallow God that passes out cotton candy and pats people on the head and winks at sin. Let me tell you something. You know nothing of the character of Almighty God. You know what God said we ought to remember about him? He said, remember this. Once I pulled my Egyptians, my people, out of Egypt, I destroyed the rest of them. We better remember that God's a God of judgment. God loves sinners but hates sin. Hates sin. Hates sin. God's not going to wink at sin, and God's not going to wink at the sins of Christians. It's time that we decided that, you know what? All right, great. We'll remember his crucifixion. We'll remember his creed. We'll remember the commission. Well, what about his character? What else do we want to remember about him? Verse 6, and the angels that kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains into darkness unto the judgment of the great day. They said, here's something y'all remember about God. The angels that kept following him, they're in all of their glory and being mightily used in heaven. The ones that followed Satan out of heaven down to earth in rebellion, he's slapped them into hell and he's chained them to the walls in everlasting chains of darkness. Hey, by the way, America, you ought to remember a little bit about the character of God. teenagers at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, you ought to remember a little bit about the character of God. No, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong. Well, what's right with it? What's right with it? What's holy about it? What's clean about it? What's pure about it? How does it advance the idea in front of a lost world that we are God's people? Amen. What else should we remember about the character of God? Well, verse 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. You know what he said to remember? He said, you might want to remember this, Sodomites. You might want to remember this, Linton, Indiana, who's starting to open their arms and welcome Sodomites to open businesses right on Main Street. You might remember Sodom and Gomorrah. You might remember the brimstone and the fire. You might remember the graciousness of God who got Lot and his family out, but the vengeance of God who punished that city with everlasting fire and destruction. His vengeance was unbridled that day. He wiped them out. You better remember that, America. By the way, we ought to remember that when we head to the polls here in November. I'm talking about not only our presidential, I'm talking about all the way down to our local elections. I'm talking about here in the state of Indiana. You better check who's embracing the Sodomite idea and who's standing firmly against it. And we ought to stop voting our wallet and start voting holiness before God. We better keep in mind the character of God. Man, you might want to remember the character of God before you go pull that lever and you've punched a button and you voted for a baby killer. You might want to think about the character of God. Ladies, when you get up in the morning and you're getting ready to dress, you might remember the character of God. Temperatures go up, clothes start coming off. Let me tell you something. Not if you're a Christian. Not if you understand the character of God. You participate in holiness. You know why? Not because it's easy. Not because it's maybe the most comfortable thing. But you do it out of respect of the character of Almighty God. Man, let me tell you something. I say this. I'm going to preach on it. I'm going to just keep it hot all summer long. Amen. Temperatures going up outside. It's going to stay up on this pulpit all year. Listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. Summertime, I see more Christians go wacko in the summertime than any other time in the world. All of a sudden, we just get this idea that God's gone blind because it's summertime. And all of a sudden, indecency is okay. It's summertime. Just hit and miss church attendance is all right because it's summertime. Not tithing's all right because it's summertime. It's none of those things. You forget the character of Almighty God. Now, folks, listen to me. You want to remember the character of God? You do that when you participate in holiness. You remember by doing something. You know why? Brother Jerry, listen, when you're faced with right or wrong, why do you do right? Because I want to remember the character of God. And if I remember the character of God, it's going to encourage me to do the right thing. Young person, have you dropped your music standards? I mean, stuff you wouldn't have listened to a year ago, you're listening to? You've got around some pagan, you've got around some carnal Christian. They've slid you a couple CDs. Oh, there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with this. Well, let me ask you something. How's your spiritual life going since you started listening to that stuff? How you doing? Are you experiencing great victories for Jesus Christ? Are you slithering around here with a guilt complex? Can't sit through a sermon like this and do anything but hang your head or stare straight ahead. Come on now. You know what you better remember? You better remember the character of the Lord. The character of the Lord. Now let's jump across. We're not going to read this entire book, but look at verse number 17. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in that last time who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual. Notice this, having not the Spirit. Listen, folks, we've got way too many perverts in the church house. We've got way too many men that are fixated on things they shouldn't be fixated on. Too many young men are making decisions. Their daily decision, the driving force of your life is your own sinful lust. Shame on you. You forget the character of God. Well, I can't help it. You can help it. You can, with God's grace, have victory in that area of your life. Yes, you can. Notice this, sensual having not the Spirit. Sensual having not the Spirit. You know how to overcome that? One of the good ways to overcome that? Get saved. If you're not saved, get saved. Verse 20, notice this. But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most, what's the next word? Holy faith. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, listen, I can't teach this whole book. But let me just say this. We've got to the point where we're beginning to have an evangelical view of an almighty holy God, even in our fundamental Baptist churches. Don't look for any sermon soon from this pulpit on gray areas. But I am going to start preaching on gray preachers. Amen. And I don't mean this. I mean backsliders. I mean people that are selling out. They're forgetting the character of Almighty God. Listen, folks, I'm a little sick and tired of going to conferences or listening to somebody on the radio or hearing some message, and all it is a watered down version of a God that they don't want to have to face. But they will face one of these days. Blessed old Baptist Church, let's leave this place and live holy lives. There ought to not ever be a day where somebody in this community ought, listen, they ought to just be able to look at you getting out of your car and walking across the street and know that you're a Christian. Yes, young men, stop trying to look, see how much like the pagan world you can look. Clean yourselves up. Amen. Be sharp. Right. Don't listen, get rid of your GQ magazines. Amen. I'm trying to figure out how the world's doing everything. And listen, why don't you just look like a Christian? Yes, look like a Christian. Amen. Character of our Lord. This do in remembrance of me. So what do you do, Brother Jerry? You involve yourselves in things that remind you of the cross. You involve yourselves in things that remind you of His creed. You go out and you participate in winning souls, and it reminds you of His commission. And then you know what? Every day of your life you say, you know what, I'm going to live in such a way so that it keeps in my remembrance the holiness and the character of Almighty God. Boy, that's a good way to live your life. Amen. I think God's tired of being forgotten. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that You'd speak to our hearts. Stir something inside of us, Lord. Help us to care more and more what You think and less what the world thinks. Help us to spend more time considering Your words than the words of this old wicked world. I pray, Lord, that You'd help us to focus on You. Focus on You. Now, folks, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, just a moment. Could we just do something in remembrance of Christ? Could we just stop as we did earlier and remember our fallen heroes? Could we stop and remember the hero of all heroes? Could we stop and consider for a minute the God-man that paid the ultimate price for our eternal salvation? And could we live our lives when we leave this place in such a way that would bring honor to His memory? Heavenly Father, stir something in us, God. Get us back on the right page. Help us to clean our lives up, clean our act up. There's somebody here without Christ as their Savior. Bring conviction upon their life. God, they're not going to know, they're not going to understand, they're not going to do until they get saved. All this might seem a bit foreign when you're lost. I pray that You speak to their heart. The crucifixion, what was it about? It was about God, You paying a price for us so that we could go to heaven. I pray that You'd convict somebody that's lost here this morning. Lord, You've come to them before. They've heard the gospel before. Lord, they've known their need to get saved. This isn't the first visitation, but I pray, Lord, that today they'll respond to it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.